I tell you, the goodness of God will overwhelm you. It's just overwhelming, the goodness of Jesus. I trust you know about His goodness, His mercy, His long-suffering, His compassion. The Lord is good. He is good. At the end of all of life, the Lord is good. And I trust that where you are in your place in life, that you can say that. The Lord is good. One songwriter said that, you know what? I've had more ups than I have downs. But through it all, God's been good. Isn't God good?
Amen.
He is good.
Amen.
I want to preach to you this morning a message that God has laid on my heart. My favorite Old Testament lady, and her name is Jochebed. And the scripture here doesn't really give us her name in this passage. Now, if you turn over to chapter 6, not while I'm preaching, you'll find the name Jochebed, Moses' mother. Moses gets a lot of attention, and rightfully so. He was the lawgiver. He wrote the first five books of the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we call the Pentateuch. A lot of the Old Testament saints, they look to Moses. He is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't hear a lot about Moses' mother. I'm afraid that we don't hear a lot about a lot of mothers. But God's keeping the records. And God keeps good records. Amen. I trust that your mother hears a lot from you. I trust that today she'll hear some things from you. You'll let her know how much she means to you. The things that she's instilled in your life. So, well, it hasn't always been pleasant, preacher. Well, life is not always pleasant. But you take the grand things and the good things, and you take those things that maybe the world and the devil meant for evil, but God meant it for good, and you hold on to those things, and you cherish them, and you give honor where honor is due. And God will honor that in your life. When I look at this lady here, I'm challenged by her fortitude. I'm challenged by her faith. I'm challenged by her courage. I'm challenged by the fact that in the midst of dire circumstances, in extreme atmosphere, in a hateful society, under a ruler that had no regard for human life, she stood tall. And so I want to preach to you about Jochebed this morning. And I want to try to build some thoughts around four words, and I hope you'll write them down. And I trust that they'll be a good challenge to our mothers this morning. I want to say to all of you mothers, God bless you. We live in a, especially you young mothers, We just live in a different America, don't we? Now, we hear this all the time, but brethren, it's so. It's so. And as I was sitting at my desk this past week and I was looking over this account in the scripture, I thought, my, how relevant this is and how akin this is to the times in which we live today. I think you'll see when we read through this, it is stunningly relative to the times that we live in. I want you to notice with me that the scripture, when it mentions this lady, it mentions that the timing, let's get a little background so we'll know a little bit about what she's going through. She hid her son for 3 months. Now that in itself, just think about that for a moment, We have a little baby in the service. We had one in the Sunday school this morning crying a little bit. The cries of a baby doesn't bother me. You say, well, yeah, that's because you're not up at 3 o'clock in the morning with them, preacher. Well, you know, that does make a little bit of a difference. Amen. But I will tell you something. I don't have a problem with little children being in the service. Now, we have children's ministries here, and many of the children are in those ministries right now, but it doesn't bother me when children cry or sniffle a little bit. I think there is a time when a mother needs to kind of slip outside with them, and a mother will know that. Mothers, God has given mothers, I mean, extreme wisdom about these matters. And God's just put something intuitive in a mother that'll know it's time. Amen? He will. But we don't get nervous when a baby or a child gets a little fussy or something, and we don't get anxious and antsy. That's just part of life. Well, here was a mother that hid her child for 3 months. Could you imagine that? There had been an edict gone out. Let me give you some background here. The Bible says that Joseph, when he was sold into slavery by his brethren, that he ended up in Egypt. You know the story. It ends in the end, and I'm sure Pastor BJ and his Sunday school class will get there as we get down to the close of Genesis, that when Joseph was in Egypt, there was a famine in the land, and God had given Joseph great wisdom to prepare for these famines, these times of plenty, and also the times of famine. And his family came because they needed resources, and I'm not going to go into all the detail there. If you haven't read from chapter 39 of Genesis on through the end of Genesis chapter 50, I highly encourage you, even if you haven't read it recently, I highly encourage you to read this account. Well, his family ended up moving there, and the Bible gives us this account in Exodus chapter number 1. If you'll look there in Exodus 1, it says, now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob. And so when the sons of Joseph, you know, when they came down, or the brothers of Joseph, I should say, when they came down and they were there in Egypt's land, the scripture says that they all resided there, and they began to multiply, and God began to bless them there in Egypt. But then in verse number 6 it says, Joseph died, and all of his brethren, now watch this phrase, and all of that generation. And so there was a generation that feared God. There was a generation that had a godly example in a man of great faith named Joseph. And all that generation died off, and Joseph died off. And then in verse number 8 the Bible says this. The Bible says, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. See, now society is getting ready to change. Some things are getting ready to change. The culture is getting ready to take a swing. What had been a friendly culture to the people of God, and what had been a friendly culture, now is beginning to change a little bit. And we're going to see this change and what the edit that was put forth, because there was a jealousy among the people for the people of God, and they wanted to suppress them, and they wanted to oppress them. As a matter of fact, when you read in this chapter number 1, you'll find where it says that they made them work, and when they put taskmasters over them, that they made them work, and their work was vigorous, and they made them work with rigor. And so they suppressed them. They suppressed the people of God. Now keep this in mind as you think about our day, because I want you to kind of compare where these folks were and where we are. This new leadership that had come on the scene was not Joseph friendly. This new leadership was not national, the nation of Joseph's people friendly. And so they became jealous of them, and they wanted to suppress them, and they wanted to really eliminate them. They wanted to control them. And so they made these laws, and if you'll read, let's see, I think it's in verse number 10, where the king called his people together, and he said, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And so they said, we're going to rule over them, and we're going to devise a plan to control them, everything about their life, and we're going to distract them. We want to give them duties. We want to give them things to do so that they cannot work together. We want to try to divide them. And brethren, when you work with rigor and when you have taskmasters over you, when your life is burdensome, it can cause you to react in a different way than what you normally would. And so here's the people that had the love of God in their heart. Here's the people that had the God of creation had called these people. And he had a purpose for them. But they found themselves in a hostile environment. And these people wanted to make them hostile toward one another. And to turn in and to turn one against another. And so then the king put out a net and he said, here's what I want. He said, I want it to be, and when the midwives of these people come together, and you can read this in chapter 1 and verses 15 and following. He said, when it's a female child, he said, let that child live. But if it's a son, if it's a male child, I want that child killed instantly. And so we find here's a people that had many gods. They had a pluricity. They had a multiplicity of gods. And we find through history when people have this pluricity and this multiplicity of gods that they have a very low regard for life. And they were not like these people who had a high regard for life because they realized where life came from. They realized that their God was the one true and living God. And they realized that life was a gift from God and that children were not a burden. They were a blessing. Amen. Amen. And we live in a society today that looks at these little children as a burden. And they want to do harm to them. And they want to bring great harm upon them. And they want to control them. And they are after the children, just like this society. Just like this society. And so an edit went out and said, I want the boys. I want to control them. And I want to intermarry and I want to mix with them. And so we're going to kill all these boy babies so we can control them. But those midwives had wisdom and they said, we're not going to be able to do this. And they didn't do it. God moved in their heart. And you can read it in chapter 1 where God moved in their heart. And the king called them in and he said, hey, what meaneth this? Why are you doing this? And they said, oh, these Hebrew women, they're not like you Egyptians. They're not soft like y'all. Amen. Amen. Yeah, they're lively, he said. Read it. That's what they said. They said, they're lively. They're active. They're having these babies but before we can even get to them. And he said, well, we're going to come up with something else then. And he said, if they do have these babies and the midwives don't kill them, we're going to get our people together. And you can read this in chapter number 22, or verse number 22 of chapter 1. Pharaoh charged all of his people. He said, we're going outside the armies now. And I want any Egyptian that sees one of these little boys running around here. He said, I want these, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive, in verse number 22. And he said, I want these little boy babies done away with. And then you look at chapter number 2, and here is Jochebed's, here's her dilemma. And that's the first word I want you to write down, dilemma or distraction. So this Amram, this man in verse number 1 of chapter 2 of the house of Levi took a wife of the daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. Now, I don't know all that happened. The Bible doesn't say. There's an inference here that possibly she had the baby and without the help of a midwife. There's an inference. Now, maybe the midwives were there and they didn't report it. Or maybe the midwives were not there. There's an inference that many of the women were able to have the babies without the midwives because of their strength and because of their courage. And maybe Miriam assisted. The Bible doesn't say. I don't know. But I know this. I know that Moses was born into her, this little baby that she did not name Moses. But he was born into her and she hid him. Look, if you would, in verse number 2, the scripture says that she saw he was a goodly child. What an interesting word. The book of Acts in chapter 7, I hope you'll write this down, in verse number 20 says he was an extremely fair child. In the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11, it says he was a proper child. This was not just any child. But I will say this, God loves all the children. And I hope you'll write that down today. There's not a child ever been born that God doesn't love. Amen. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight, brethren. And I know we live in a world that doesn't feel that way. They're harvesting their organs. They're pumping pornography in their brains. Listen to me now. They're trying to get a hold of their lives. They're trying to get a hold of their hearts. They're trafficking our children. And they have no regard for life. Because they have a multiplicity of gods. But those of us who are the one true and living God, we know that God values their life. God has a purpose for their life. I want every young person in the building today to look right up here at your preacher this morning. God has a purpose for your life. And don't you ever let anyone tell you any different. Don't you let hell get on your back. Listen, every parent in this building today ought to fight hell off of your children's back. Because hell's after our children. Hollywood's after our children. This stinking music industry's after our children. Religion's after your children. You say religion? Yeah, religion. After your children. And every father, every mother, every grandmother, every grandfather, every person of character and godliness ought to fight hell off of our children's back. You ought to go to war for your children. Amen. And I appreciate this woman here who said, I will not give in to the leadership's edit. I will not give in to what this government is telling me to do. It's not the government's right to say what I'm going to do with my children. And they're not getting my child, she said. Thank God for her. God give us a whole lot of them. Amen. And the scripture says that when she saw that he was a goodly child, that means beautiful. But when you study this word out, and I challenge you to do this word goodly, when you go over to chapter number 7 of Acts in verse 20, and you see where it says he was extremely fair, study that out. In Hebrews 11, where it says he was a proper child, it means that he not only had beauty outside, but he had beauty, the beauty of God on the inside. And so she was distracted. She brought a child into the world in this environment where there was death all around her, where the regard of life was at an all-time low. I mean, they were literally taking children and chunking them into the Nile River, feeding them to the crocodiles, brethren. You say, well, preacher, that appalls me. Well, then you'll be appalled what's going on in our country today then. It ought to appall us the way our children are being targeted. And we ought to stand up. Listen, those little babies have no voice, but God gave me a voice for them. Amen. And God gave you a voice for them. And we stand and we speak out and we fight for our children. Amen. 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 And I'm glad for a woman like this that said, you're not getting my children. Look what the scripture says in the latter part of verse number 2. She hid him 3 months. Can you imagine? Could you imagine the dilemma, the distraction, the fear, and yet the courage that resided in her heart, the faith, knowing that this could be certain death for me. But she put the life of her child before her own. And she said, if it costs me my life, it'll cost me my life. But I am not giving in to this system. And I want to encourage every mother and the son of my voice this morning. Now, some that don't know me well might think, well, this man is anti-government. Listen, you'll never meet anybody more patriotic than me. I still cry when I hear the national anthem. Not ashamed of it. I love my country. But I'm disappointed and some things that are going on in America today. Amen. And I used to could stand with pride and sing, God bless America. But now I stand in shame. I mean, I'm even ashamed to sing that song. America needs to bless God. We've turned our back on God. We've turned our back on the God who founded our country, brethren. And my heart is divided. I struggle with it. I struggle. And I would to God for the days to where we could stand with pride in our heart for a country that stood on principle and righteousness. But you and I all know, listen, we all know that that's not the day that we live in. We live in a day that's turned. We live in this day. We live in this day. When they're coming after our children, they want to destroy them. They want to take them. Listen, many, they want to get to the young people that are having them before they have them so they can destroy them before they even have a chance to come into the world. You say, oh, yeah, that's abortion, preacher. Well, yeah, that's just a fancy word for murder. And if you're here and you've had an abortion, I'm not picking on you. I'm glad God will forgive you, and I pray God will help you find healing. I do. I'm not speaking down to you at all. I'm speaking truth to you because I want you to know God loves you, and God has healing, and God has forgiveness for those that have fallen into that trap, into that snare. So there's determination. There are distraction. See a little bit about the background, the burden, and I just wrote down some things about the culture and of this day. Could you just imagine where people are just going around? Again, I call your attention to chapter 1, verse 22, where the scripture says that Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river. And they were just scouting out and trying to find, you know, just trying to find the babies, trying to find the little children, you know, so they could do harm to them. It sounds very familiar to me. And then you've got this mother who wants to do right, who's a child of God, who is a woman with conviction and character and godliness, who says, I'm not going to give in to that. I'm not going to give my children up. I'm going to fight for my children. I'm going to stand for what's right. And the scripture says in verse number 2, in the latter part and over into verse number 3, it says she moves from a distraction. Before I move on to this, I want to say there's a lot of distractions out here today, mothers. And I don't understand all that our mothers go through. I don't. I'm a father, a grandfather, and I'm a proud one. And I understand some things that fathers go through, and I try to understand things that mothers go through. I do. But no one understands like a mother does. And you're raising your children in a hostile environment. In an environment of oppression, in an environment of hostility. And I trust that you realize that. And I say, God bless you. God bless you. God give you a measure of grace and strength and fortitude and courage. And God increase your faith to do what is right and to stand on principle and don't fold and don't give in to the edicts of the king into the position of a government. Don't do that. God gave those babies to you, and they're your responsibility. Dad, you get in behind her and help. You say, well, that's mama's job. No, that's mama and daddy's job. We heard them this morning in Sunday school that mom and dad, husband and wife, are a team. Be a team. Be a team player. Help out. And so there was this distraction. Aren't there a lot of distractions today? Aren't they? Let me show you one of the chief distractions. And I'm not being mean here now. I'm just not. This right here can distract you from being a good mother. I didn't say that it is. I said it can. Be careful with these things. You be careful. I see little children walking around with these. I wonder if you really know what's on these. I wonder if you know what is available on these things. I can't tell you how to parent your children. I can't do that. I parent mine. And now they're parenting theirs. But I want to forewarn you. You be careful about putting these into the hands of little children. Amen. The possibilities of these things certainly are good, but there's also evil. And sometimes children don't know how to determine what is good and what is evil. And so I just encourage you now. Don't spend a lot of time on this. You spend time with the children. I'll get to that here in just a moment. You're going to have to invest in these little children. Some of you grow flowers. And you know that roses just don't happen. They've got to be worked. They have to be cultivated. There's a lot of preparation. There's a lot that goes in to producing a beautiful flower. Can I tell you, there's a lot that goes in. There's a lot of preparation in producing a proper child. And we have got to get back to where we are investing into our children. Investing, spending quality time with them. This goes for dad and mom. I pray every dad, mom, under the sound of my voice will hear me this morning. I'm not fussing at you. I'm preaching to you. And I'm preaching to you in love. You spend time with your children. You make time for them. You say, I'm busy, preacher. We're all busy. That's not an excuse. Make time for your children. There are distractions that will try to take you away from your children and your children away from you. And that's what's going on right here. God help us not to allow that to happen. Number two, determination. You see her determination? In verse number two, she says she hid him for 3 months. She was determined that the system wasn't going to get her child. She hid him for 3 months. I hope to God that there's some mothers in here this morning. And I know there are, and I thank God for you. I do. I know many of you, and I see it. I see it, and I thank God. I thank God for you. You're determined that the system is not going to get your children. The system is after your children. You say, what system? It's an antichrist system. Amen. Stay in the book. Be aware of what's going on. There's a system, and they're after our children. The system, the same system, the people behind the same system that was here is after your children. That system. Notice verse number three. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Isn't that something? You know, there comes a time, and it's, listen, For this one, it was far, far sooner than what mama wanted. But every mother, every father is going to have to say, you're on your own, son. Amen. It's time for you to take that step. It's time for you to take that step. You can't go through life with your children by their side all the time. You say, well, I wished I could. Well, you can certainly send your prayers with them. Amen. You can send your prayers with them. And you can always pray for them, and you can always be there as a source of comfort and encouragement, a voice. Always leave the door open for your children to come back. Amen. For encouragement and for help and for advice and for counsel. Now, I'm not saying that at 3 months old you send your kids out, but I'm just saying I see something here. I see where she had a decision to make. And her decision was, the pressure got turned up, no doubt. The vice was tightening. And she said, I can notice again the wording here in verse number three. When she could not longer hide him. Couldn't do it. She knew, for the safety of my child, I've got to do this. My, what a decision that must have been. What a decision. But she was determined for her child. Being a mother is not always an easy thing, is it, ladies? It's not. Parents, being a parent is not always easy, is it? There's tough decisions to be made. Now, this little one couldn't make that decision. And your little ones can't make decisions. And that's why God will give you wisdom to lead them in decisions. You teach your children to make good, godly decisions so that when they get older, they'll be able to fall back on that, as we shall see he did. This man right here that I'm reading to you about his mom instilled some things in him that were far more important than food in his belly, clothes on his back. She put faith in his heart. You put faith in those little ones' heart that God has given you. It's important. It's important. And when she could do it no longer, the scripture says that she done the safest thing she knew. That's what an ark is a picture of. It's the ark in the Bible is a picture of safety, just like Noah, and presence, just like the covenant. It's a picture of safety and covenant. And she took this ark of bulrushes, and she put it in the river and laid it by the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off him in verse number 4 to wit what would be done to him. Don't you know this was tough? So when you think of this mother, when you think of a mother, don't you think about some softy, don't you think about some person with no courage, no character, with not having to make strong decisions or have a mindset and conviction? This woman had it, brethren. I pray to God that you see what this woman had. She had what it took. And she said, I'm going to make this decision to put my child there because I know it's what's best for him. And if he goes in the river, he's going to go by my hand and not by the king's edict. Did you hear me? Write that in your heart, would you? You can't keep your child out of the world, but you can keep the world out of your child. Amen. And if they get in the system, and listen, all of us have to be a part of the system. We're in the world, but we don't have to be of it. Say amen with me. And so you make sure that when your child goes into the system, they go by your hand and not by the king's edict. That's what she did. That's what she did. And so the scripture says she put him there. And it came to pass in verse number 5, I like what his sister did. Miriam, if I did my math correct, and my math's not always correct, but I think I done the right thing here by looking at and tracing the time. She's about 14 or 15 years old. Aaron's about 3. And here's little Moses, about 3 months. And she put him in the river's brink by the flags. That's papyrus. I believe it's what she made that ark of, bulrush, papyrus. She daubed it, slime. And the scripture says when she put it there in verse number 5, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself. Are you with me in verse number 5 at the river? And her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. I heard an old preacher many years ago, an old country preacher, said that God pinched that baby right when Pharaoh's daughter came up to it, because he knows that a woman's heart is for the little children. And he pinched that little baby, and it melted Pharaoh's daughter. It melted her heart. And she said, this is one of the little Hebrews' children. And notice in verse number 7, his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? Isn't that something? Can you see how God will honor your faith, Mom? I pray that you will. We just heard in Sunday school this morning that don't try to, you know, maneuver and twist to get what you think God wants. Let God do his work. God does his work better than we can do it for him. Amen. Let God do that. Let God do that. No doubt she was thinking, God, I hope I'm doing the right thing. And she prayed and she did the hard thing. And then God took it from there. Right? Sent Pharaoh's daughter down at that time. And there stood Miriam. And she went up to him and she said, hey, she said, would you like for me to go get someone to nurse him? She said, yeah, go ahead. Go. And you know who she went and got? Look if you would. The scripture says in verse number 8 that Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. So here comes Jochebed back in the picture. She let her child go and God gave him back to her. Isn't that something? That's something. I just love the way God will get involved in our lives and the way God will get personal with us and the way God will show himself strong. Aren't you glad for that, brethren? Aren't you glad for that? Mothers, hear me this morning. God sees you. He knows your struggles. He knows. He understands. He's able. He wants to bless you. Let God work in your life. You don't have to do that alone. You don't have to raise those children alone. Surely your husband ought to be there to help you, but God will be. Amen. And the scripture says in verse number 9, that Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And that's the title of my message this morning, A Mother's Wages. I tell you right now, when you will get God involved in the rearing of your children, God will pay you for it. Amen. Can I tell you that there's a mother, I know this mother, is being getting paid constant wages from heaven. Because this mother is my wife. And God has been paying her for her labor of love to our 4 children and to our 13 grandchildren all of these years, God has been paying her wage. Amen. God does that. I pray that every mother will see it this morning and grab hold of it. If you will trust God and if you will turn your children over to God and you will let God get involved, God will pay your wage. God will pay you far. He'll multiply it 100-fold to what you could do by yourself. Well, the story goes from the distractions to the determination. And here's our third word. I hope you'll write it down, the dedication. What do you think happened? I'm about through, but I want you to hear this now. What do you think happened? When she laid Moses in that little ark of bulrushes and put him in that Nile, and Pharaoh's daughter came up, could you imagine all the things that were going on? But then could you imagine when Miriam came and said, "Mom, they've called for you to nurse the son, my brother." And she went. And there's Pharaoh's daughter saying, "I'm going to take care of him. And I'm going to pay you to do it. You take care of him, I'll pay you." Isn't that something? That's basically what God says. "I'm going to loan you this child. And you take care of him. And I'm going to reward you for it." Is that right, moms? Every mom sitting in this building today and those that have joined us by live stream knows what I just said is so. Not because I said it, but because it's in this book. God rewards the moms that will take care of his little children. They belongs to you for just a season. And it's just a short season, mom. I want you to listen very carefully as I try to wind this down. Please hear me. I look across our congregation, I see some gray hair and some white hair. I see some grandmas. That's what we call them. You say, "Well, no, that's grandmother." Well, it's grandma where I came from. Amen. If you want to say grandmother, that's fine. It's grandma. I see some grandmothers. I see some great grandmothers. And God bless you. Now, mothers, you can ask these grandmothers and these great grandmothers, you won't have them long. I think about little Zaid down there. I was able to hold him in my arms for a little while, and he just smiled Friday. That is a blessing. Little Beckett, just it's a blessing to see these little newborns. Amen? Isn't it a blessing when God blesses your family with those little newborns? Amen. But now, moms, I want you to listen to me. Your mom and your grandmother will tell you, you don't have them long. You don't have them long. It all goes so fast. Right? It does. And right now, I look over here and I see how God blessed Brother Kevin and Cassie with that little girl. Oh, my. Listen, I don't know that I've ever seen a mom so proud. Dad, too, but not like mom. Mom just, man, she's beaming. They prayed for that child. Had four boys, and God finally said, "Now I'm going to give them a little girl." Isn't that something? Isn't that something, brother? Beaming. And right now, they're just so little, and you hold them in your arms, and you think, "My, this is just, boy, this is going to be a long time." And I'm going to, nah, they'll be out of your arms for long. They'll have your hand. They'll be walking beside you. And then before long, they'll be running ahead of you. Right? Yeah. And then you'll be chasing them. Amen. And they can outrun you. It just doesn't last long. I'm telling you, it doesn't. So what are you going to do? I want to give you some advice. You teach those little babies who God is. I believe that's what Jochebed did. I believe she said, "I'm not going to have you long, son. I don't know how long. Listen, I do not know." If you'll read with me here now, look at it. In verse number 10, it says, "The child grew." All right? The child, are you in verse number 10? "And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son." Don't you know that was difficult? Don't know how old the child was. I don't know. But I know there was a short window of time. And I believe Jochebed knew this. There's a short window of time, and I have to dedicate myself in this short window of time, in this short window of opportunity that I have. I've got to teach my boy who God is. I don't want my boy to have the gods of the Egyptians. I don't want my boy to come up like those pagan gods and believing that those gods are his God. I want my boy to know that God is his God. I want my boy to know that his God is the God that created the heaven and the earth. His God is the God that made man in his own image. His God is the God that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in there is. Amen. I want my boy to know that his God is a God full of compassion, full of mercy, full of grace, long-suffering, patient. I want my boy to know that his God is God. Amen. Mom, you won't have long. You hear me now. You think you have far longer than what you really have. Time goes. It just keeps coming. Day after day after day. Week after week after week. Month after month. Year after year. And before long, your child will be leaving that home. And you'll say, where did time go? Why, you have this opportunity. You sit down with that boy. You sit down with that girl. And you say, son, your God. You take them outside and you look up. You say, you see that big red ball of fire up there. Your God made that. Amen. That's the greater light that lights the day. Take them out at night and show them the moon and say, that's the lesser night. That's the lesser light that God used to light the night. Your God made that. And oh, by the way, he made the stars also. Amen. God done all of that. You teach your children who God is. You teach your children that there's only one God. I'm going to say that again. There's only one God. One God. One God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Don't you let somebody else teach your children. You teach your children. Say, well, we're bringing them to Sunday school. Bring them on, amen. Thank God for it. But you teach your children who God is. We'll come alongside of you and confirm that. Is that right, brethren? We'll come alongside of you and confirm that. But you teach your children. Son, daughter, your God spoke the worlds into existence. The worlds are framed not by some fortuitous concourse of atoms clashing together or some evolutionary theory, but the worlds were framed by the word of his power. Amen. Your God did that. Teach them who their God is. And then you teach them who they are. That's two things that every mother, every parent ought to teach their children. Who God is and who they are. You're created in God's image. Amen. Amen. You're created in God's image. You're fearfully, Psalm 139, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a distinct, special purpose for your life. Teach your children this. God has a distinct, special purpose. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made. You teach them that the law of their God is perfect, converting the soul. That the testimony of their God is sure, making wise the simple. That the statutes of their God are right, rejoicing the heart. That the commandment of their God is pure, enlightening the eyes. Teach your children. Teach them these things. Sit down with them. Do you gather your children around this book every night and say, it's time. It's time. We're going to turn to the eternal pages of this book and learn that the fear of your God is clean, enduring forever. Amen. The judgments of our God is true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, young man, moreover, young lady, listen, children. Moreover, is thy servant warned by them, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. Teach your children. I believe Jochebed did. So how'd that work out for her? Well, as you stand to your feet, our time is up. You can turn over to Hebrews when you get home and find out that I love the way, let me back up. I love the way Luke put it in the book of Acts. I just love it. It says, as Simon is going along, it says, and it came to his heart, speaking of Moses, he was going along, then about 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brethren. I love that phrase there. It came to his heart. Why do you think it came to his heart? Because it was in his heart. His mama's and put something in his heart that the enemy can't take out. It came to his heart to visit his brethren. And then the next time you read about something coming to his heart, he's turning aside to see what that bush is burning and not consumed. It's important. See, it worked out for her. It worked out for her. It'll work out for you too, Mom. It will. It will. The devil will try to tell you, oh, yeah, it's not working. I can't tell you how many people, I mean good people through the years have tried to tell me, oh, it doesn't work. I don't back down to that stuff. Listen, when it comes to this right here, I'm not backing down. It does work too. This is the answer right here. This is the answer. Not some person who doesn't have children but has dogs. I don't want anybody who has dogs trying to tell me. Listen, they never raised a child in their life and going to tell me what this book has to say. I don't want that. This book has the answer to raising kids. Amen. Not a dog whisperer. Say amen. Amen. It's okay to say amen. I'm not interested in what a dog whisperer has. I'm interested in what thus saith the scriptures. This right here. Say, well, we train cats. Not interested if you train cats. This book tells you how to train children. Amen. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you. We've gone to every kind of source, but the source. This is the source on raising and training kids right here. It is. Moms, open this book up and let God tell you how that the children are an heritage of the Lord. And you can just sit down and they'll gather around your table like olive plants. Olive branches. Amen. It's real. Thank God for good godly mothers. You have a good godly mother? I said, do you have a good godly mother? If you do, you have a great heritage. Let's bow our heads together.